From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Breaking news tonight in the debt negotiation talks. President Obama is speaking right now in the White House briefing room. He said he got a call from Speaker of the House John Boehner suspending talks. Boehner said he will instead move forward in talks with Senate leaders. Let's listen to what the president is saying.
Eliminating loopholes, eliminating some deductions, engaging in a tax reform process that could have lowered rates generally while broadening the base. So let me reiterate what we were offering. We were offering a deal that called for as much discretionary savings as the Gang of Six. We were calling for taxes that were less than what the Gang of Six had proposed. And we were calling for modifications to entitlement programs would have saved just as much over the 10-year window. In other words, this was an extraordinarily fair deal. If it was unbalanced, it was unbalanced in the direction of not enough revenue. But in the interest of being serious about deficit reduction, I was willing to take a lot of heat from my party, and I spoke to Democratic leaders yesterday, and although they didn't sign off on a plan, they were willing to engage in serious negotiations, despite a lot of heat from a lot of interest groups around the country, in order to make sure that we actually dealt with this problem. It is hard to understand why Speaker Boehner would walk away from this kind of deal. And frankly, if you look at the commentary out there, there are a lot of Republicans that are puzzled as to why it couldn't get done. In fact, there are a lot of Republican voters out there who are puzzled as to why it couldn't get done. Because the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of the American people believe we should have a balanced approach. Now, if you do not have any revenues, as the most recent Republican plan that's been put forward both in the House and the Senate proposed. If you have no revenues at all, what that means is more of a burden on seniors, more drastic cuts to education, more drastic cuts to research, a bigger burden on services that are going to middle-class families all across the country. And it essentially asks nothing of corporate jet owners. It asks nothing of oil and gas companies. It asks nothing from folks like me who've done extremely well and can afford to do a little bit more. In other words, if you don't have revenues, the entire thing ends up being tilted on the backs of the poor and middle-class families. And the majority of Americans don't agree on that approach. So here's what we're going to do. We have now run out of time. I told Speaker Boehner, I've told Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, I've told Harry Reid, and have told Mitch McConnell, I want them here at 11 o'clock tomorrow. We have run out of time, and they are going to have to explain to me how it is that we are going to avoid default. And they can come up with any plans that they want and bring them up here, and we will work on them. The only bottom line that I have is that we have to extend this debt ceiling through the next election into 2013. And the reason for it is we've now seen how difficult it is to get any kind of deal done. The economy has already weakened, and the notion that 5 or 6 or 8 months from now, we'll be in a better position to try to solve this problem makes no sense. In addition, if we can't come up with a serious plan for actual deficit and debt reduction, and all we're doing is extending the debt ceiling for another 6, 7, 8 months, then the probabilities of downgrading U.S. credit are increased, and that will be an additional cloud over the economy and make it more difficult for us and more difficult for businesses to create jobs that the American people so desperately need.
President Obama speaking there in the White House briefing room, expressing frustration that talks between he and Speaker of the House John Boehner broke down. John Boehner made a phone call to President Obama today telling him that he was suspending talks that they were having on debt negotiations. The president there said that talks will continue. He's calling leaders of both chambers to the White House tomorrow morning to continue talks. I'm here in the studio, of course, with Robert Siegel, and Ron Elving is with us as well.
President spoke of what was on the table with Speaker Boehner in very much in the past tense. That those talks have broken down, and yet the problem at the end of his talks with Speaker Boehner seemed to be the same problem from the beginning of his talks with Speaker Boehner. The president believes there should be tax increases, revenue increases, as part of any deficit reduction plan. Speaker Boehner has objected to that in his letter to House Republicans. He told them that as a small businessman, he regards tax increases as job killers, and he said that President Obama, in his view, is not prepared to do the things he must do at this point to address the deficit.
Ron, John Boehner is saying that he now will pick up talks with the Republicans. Does this suggest that maybe they'll have to turn to this deal that had been put on ice, this McConnell-Reid proposal that would perhaps buy them a little bit of time?
That does seem to be the main point, the essence of what John Boehner is saying, that talking to the president is useless for him and that the president continues to insist on revenues. Therefore, he does not see the opportunity for a large deal. So he wants to go to Reid and McConnell, who have been talking for some while about a fallback, sometimes referred to as Plan B or Reid McConnell, in which the president would be given a temporary authority to raise the debt ceiling in exchange for the president proposing a certain number of spending cuts, no revenues, and that then through a complicated process of passage, the president vetoing, the House and Senate trying to override a veto, and so on, a back and forth that we have never seen before, a totally unprecedented kind of procedure, they would wind up with a higher debt ceiling that would prevent default. I think that that would be something that the markets would see with a rather jaundiced eye. And it's already pretty clear that they're expecting there to be a pretty good-sized deal here to reduce the deficit spending and to reduce the long-term debt. And if the markets don't see that kind of a deal, the sort of downgrading of the credit rating of the United States would seem to be in the offing.
Now, we've seen today what an up-and-down process this is. Reid had said that he wasn't going to hold sessions over the weekend, thinking that the president and John Boehner would continue with these talks, expecting that there was progress being made.
Yes, and let's remember, too, that for the last several days we've had on the table the Gang of Six proposal. The president made some reference to that in recent moments. And this looked promising to a lot of people, particularly to a lot of outside observers, relatively objective observers, saying that this looked like something that could get 60 votes, 70 votes in the Senate, and there would be a bipartisan basis on which the House could then assess that particular plan. It had about $1 trillion in revenues, mostly in broadening the base, closing certain loopholes, closing certain deductions, and it also had several $1 trillion in spending cuts, some of which were going to be quite deep, including over a 10-year period, $800 billion in the defense area, in the Homeland Security and defense area. And that was, you know, what you would have to call a serious down payment on changing the long-term spending habits of the federal government. There were many others as well. That Gang of Six plan did not gain a lot of favor in the House. House Republicans were very upset about it. They felt that it had upstaged their own efforts at passing a balanced budget amendment, so they were not happy
with it. We're going to bring E.J. Dionne into the discussion in just a minute. One quick question for you, Ron, though. If there's a lot of worries about how the bond market will respond to this. If this had happened earlier in the day, we might have seen them. But as it is, we really haven't seen an effect in that.
No, and the equity markets, the stock market, has actually been rather sanguine this week. It went up sharply on news of the Gang of Six plan, went up sharply again yesterday when they hoped that the plan might be actually moving ahead and there might be some acceptance of that. The bond market has also not really shown that off-the-table drop that people might have expected. But now
not
the talks seem
so
to have broken down, the bond market might start to take a very different approach.
Well, as you said earlier, that much would depend on ratings agencies. agencies and whether the absence of a deal might lead them to revisit the AAA rating of U.S. Treasuries. E.J. Dionne, a columnist for The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, joins us by phone right now. E.J., the president had wandered into grand bargain negotiations with Speaker Boehner. He was deeply enough in them to anger a lot of liberal Democrats. And now it turns out the grand bargain is a bust. Where does that leave President Obama?
Well, I don't know about you, Robert, but I thought President Obama looked as angry as President Obama ever looks, which is not the way most people look angry, but he really was upset by this. And he really, I think, sort of laid it very much at the feet of the Republicans. I think this shows how difficult it is to expect normal governance with this majority in the House. I think there are Republicans, and this really made it impossible for Boehner to make a deal, are paralyzed by their inability to accept that you might need some revenue to solve the deficit problem. And President Obama went out of his way to say if this deal was unbalanced, it was unbalanced in the direction of not enough revenue. He was talking about $1.2 trillion in revenue, not through tax rate increases, but through tax reform. And then he listed all the things that would be cut if you didn't have any revenue coming in. So this was an angry president, and he basically threw it back at the congressional leaders.
Let me ask you a question, EJ. If the president and the Speaker of the House can't quite get to yes here on a big compromise, do the leaders of the two houses of Congress have a possibility? We've never heard the House Republicans accept the Reid-McConnell plan. They haven't signed on to that yet. Are they within reach of an easy deal?
I don't know if there's any easy deal in the city anymore. I think that there are a couple of possibilities. One is some cuts, half a trillion, a trillion. I know we're throwing around these numbers as if they're nothing, but a half a trillion or a trillion, and buying a few months to negotiate some more. But President Obama very explicitly rejected that and said, we can't. Our credit rating won't hold up if we do that. And then it's sort of trying to punt somehow to put together some plan where the House Republicans...
EJ, we lost EJ Dionne just there. And again, the news is President Obama has confirmed that House Speaker John Boehner broke off talks about a budget deal, and now it's up to the Congress.
You're listening to All Things Considered.